Regular St Clement's worshippers here today will note that the weekly bulletin is twice the size it normally is. It is two folded A4 sheets rather than the usual one folded A4 sheet. And yes, I even stapled them for you so they didn't come apart. There are three reasons why it's much longer. The obvious one is, as you will see following the reading, Gospel reading, is the text of the renewal of my ordination vows, which we shall arrive at after I finish preaching. Secondly, because I put the words of the hymn we sang as the gradual hymn, because it links so well with our second reading from 2 Corinthians, and surprisingly is not in our hymn book. But the third reason is that the Gospel reading is somewhat longer than usual, because it tells of two healing miracles, but as you will have heard, the two are intertwined with each other. The healing or raising of Jairus' daughter and the woman suffering from hemorrhages. Why are they intertwined, you may ask? Well, I would suggest that's how it happened, as it was recalled by the witnesses who saw and heard what happened. It seems as though people remembered what was said. You had that bit of Aramaic, Jesus saying, "Talitha, come, little girl, get up." And the lovely remark at the end that Jesus tells the parents, "Give us something to eat." So, you know, people remembered those words, remembered the event. But Mark, the gospel writer, I believe also wants to show how Jesus treated two totally different people. Because if you look at the story, aside from Jesus, there are two main characters, Jairus and the woman. There is, of course, the disciples, the crowd, Mrs. Jairus, and the 12-year-old daughter. But the two main characters are Jairus and the woman. And there are great contrast between the two. There's the obvious one of gender, the male-female divide. And in this male-dominated society of Judaism in the first century, please note, he has a name and she doesn't. So let's look at each of them first of all. Jairus is a leader of the synagogue, upstanding man, quite powerful. It looks as though the crowd almost divided for him as he came to speak with Jesus. But it would appear he was not abusive of his position, for the crowd seemed to have respected him, not disliked him. And yet he almost embarrasses himself, falling at Jesus' feet, begs Jesus repeatedly, so we're told. Of course, his daughter is seriously ill and dying, and desperate times call for desperate measures. And all of this is done, as you will see and have heard, done very publicly before the crowd. And so off Jesus goes with him, with the crowd. And then we have the woman. Now, if you're of my age or older and were brought up on the Authorized Version or the King James Version of the Bible, this lady was a woman who had an issue of blood. Yes, that's what it's described as. And I have to confess that it wasn't until my mid or late teens that I actually understood what was actually wrong with her, courtesy of that language. She had gynecological problems, continued menstruation, and I'm sure all ladies present here this morning will know that that's thoroughly inconvenient, often painful, especially in an era before ibuprofen, tampons, or sanitary towels. She was, of course, more importantly, ritually unclean. She would be unable to participate in Jewish worship. And the contrast with the leader of the synagogue, you know, leader of worship and everything else, is very great. These two contrasting characters. Now the lady, of course, touches Jesus's the hem of his garment, part of his clothing, and is healed. Jesus stops and turns. The disciples say, "Come on, Jesus, what on earth are you on about? Who touched you when you're surrounded by a crowd?" You understand what their reaction. But Jesus recognizes that power has gone from him. And so the woman comes forward, trembling, we are told, and Jesus commends her. But as I describe this, put yourself in the shoes of Jairus. What do you think is going on in his mind at this point? Why the delay getting to my daughter? For this woman, this unclean woman. And of course, then he gets the news he is dreading. It's too late. Don't trouble the teacher any further. So, what can we learn from the way Jesus deals with each of these people? As ever, I have three main things to draw out from these two healing miracles. The first lesson, I think most important one, is that Jesus has time for both of them, both for the important Jairus and the supposedly unimportant woman. He had equal time for both. It doesn't happen so much these days, but in my early days as chaplain here, sometimes somebody would come up to me wanting to introduce an infrequent worshipper, saying, "Oh, you should know who this he or she is, the chairman of this sort of thing, or the president of that sort of thing." Now, it's good to be introduced, and it's good to know something about them. But that person, those persons, are no more important than the exchange student here for a few weeks from Africa or elsewhere. As far as God is concerned, they're both important. But we so easily do drop into the model of believing that certain people are more important than others. As I say this, it's good on when I'm marking the 25th anniversary of my ordination as a priest to actually go back a few years before that, the mid-1980s, when I worshipped at a well-known church in the centre of Oxford, whose rector was one Canon Michael Green, and he used to one thing slightly irritated with me, even though he put me forward to the DDO, the Diocesan Director of Ordinance, to go forward for training for ordination. He would talk about, you have people coming to Oxford to study, particularly from other nations as well as from Britain, and he would talk about these as being key people, wanting them to come to Christian faith so they take it back to where they came from. Now, I can understand his desire for people to come to Christian faith, but of course, those people were no more important than the homeless on the street who would wander into church as they did even back then in the 80s, and sadly all the more so now in the centre of Oxford. May we this morning learn from Jesus that each individual matters regardless of their earthly status. The second thing I think we can learn from these two healing miracles is the place of faith. Jairus is very public about his faith. He believes that Jesus can heal, even though he's this rather unusual rabbi wandering around the countryside. He comes to Jesus believing that he can heal his daughter. Though, of course, there's a bit of Jairus saying that he wants Jesus to do it his way. You know, come with me, come and lay hands on my daughter in my home. There's a little bit of telling God what to do. Echoes of what David was saying to us when talking to the children. Whereas the woman's faith is totally private. She doesn't want anybody to know. But of course, everybody finds out because Jesus speaks to her and she has to come forward and acknowledge what she's done. But notice that both expressions of faith are honored by Jesus, though not in the way that either of them either expected or wanted. Jairus had his faith tested when he hears that his daughter has died. And Jesus has to say to him, "Do not fear, only believe." Whereas the woman has her private faith made public and then is commended for it. Yes, faith can be expressed in different ways, and God honours, in this case, both expressions, one very public, one that the lady hoped would have been private. Then we come to the very third thing, the very fact of healing. In both cases here, of course, you have physical healing. Healing of the woman's hemorrhages, the bringing back to life, or healing of Jairus' daughter. But also you have, in many respects, the healing of each of these persons' relationship with God. The woman had been deemed unclean, but now would be free to worship in the synagogue and so on. Jairus, of course, also would have become unclean by touching his daughter if she was dead for contact with a dead body. Same effect. It's interesting, the two readings that we have, we had before the Gospel reading today. The Lamentations reading in particular is meant to be what the lectionary describes as related to the Gospel reading. What do we hear? The Lord will not reject. He will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. Yes, God wants to renew that relationship with his creation, you and me. And we have, as we sang, as well as heard Jack read, Jesus, who was rich, but for our sakes became poor, that through his poverty and giving of himself, he might make us rich by bringing us back to a complete, healed relationship with God. So this morning, may the one who has time for everyone, who respects the faith of each of us, no matter how it is expressed, who brings healing, both physical and spiritual, to each of us, may he draw us, in the words of today's collect, into harmony with God's will for each of our lives. May we be people who welcome everybody, regardless of status, respect faith, regardless how it is expressed, and be drawn into that new relationship with God's will for each of our lives. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.